Okay. Yeah, we talked about making fuel out there too.
If you see it in the museum, look up, you'll think, you look at this airplane and you'll think, well, shoot, the whole wing is styrofoam. No. right from where that skin is gone, now it's a composite which is two facings of carbon fiber and Nomex honeycomb core, quarter inch thick. The fuel sealant is the core bond adhesive that holds the core to the skin. The skin is so thin that fuel would run right through it. It was only a single ply of 5/1000ths carbon fiber tape at plus 45 degrees, and we come back at minus 45 degrees. The skins of the Voyager were less than 11/1000ths of an inch thick. And if you walk up to a Voyager, and do that, you'd have to repair it.
Yeah, just leaving your elbow on the wing could damage it. Really frail. I walked around to the left wingtip and looked at that for the first time. And then I walked around to that little engine, that little Continental IOL-200 engine, 110 horsepower, liquid cooled, that puppy ran the whole time, nonstop. And that's pretty neat because most aircraft engines that we all fly, they require maintenance every 25 or 30 hours. That thing ran for 9 days, except for about 5 minutes when I screwed up and let it run out of fuel. But
215 hours of continuous operation.
But looked at the engine, and there was a brake pad or something, and it had a little bracket, and it was cracked 3/4 of the way through. And I says, boy, that was close. You know, if that thing had come off, it would have really hurt something. So then I walked around to the right wingtip, and I'm standing there with a guy named Ferg Fay. He's one of the volunteers, and he worked on this airplane for a whole time, and he's a World War II P-51 fighter pilot hero, and he just wanted to come up and work. He's a great guy, Ferg Fay. And I'm standing there, and there's a great picture. It's in the book. It's a great picture of Ferg and I standing there, and it finally frickin' hit me. I says, Ferg, do you know how many things are wrong with this airplane? And of course, you know. And then it hit me, and I don't have to fix one of them.
You know, there's something that I made a lot of mistakes on the Voyager, not as many as I've had on this damn little seaplane, but I woke up in the middle of the night realizing that I had made a fatal mistake in the design of the Voyager wing.
You're going to tell me this now?
Yeah. No, the airplane had been built, hadn't been flown yet.
I mean, fatal? I don't like that word.
A fatal to the program.
Oh, the program.
I made a mistake, which meant the Voyager, you'd almost have to start over. Now remember, when you've got 75% of the airplane's weight is fuel, the structure is kind of a small thing. It only had 914 pounds of structure and a gross weight of
10,000 round numbers.
Yeah, 10,000. I had designed the wing spar to be strong enough to have some strength margins when it was at the worst case with full fuel and the wings bent way up like this and to have a little bit of turbulence. We went out and scouted that it would have no turbulence for the first few hours because we flew there in a little airplane. I made a calculation that if you take the wingtip, which sat out there and it sat maybe that far off the ground, that if you filled that wing with fuel for the world flight, its stiffness was such that the tip would be about that far below the ground. Now, how in the hell am I going to fix that?
Dig a hole.
And for a while, I didn't tell him about my mistake because I thought maybe I'd have to, you know, they spend a lot of money trying to raise money, a lot of time trying to raise money, and now I've screwed up and they have to build another wing. And that bothered me for quite a while. Remember, it's supported by main landing gear at the booms. Okay, and then I made another calculation that if you put fuel in the inboard wing and fuel in the fuselage, it'll do this and it'll move the wing up. And I calculated, hey, we got no problem at all because the airplane full of fuel, ready for round the world flight, the wingtip will clear the ground by about that much. Right? Piece of cake, no problem.
Why did it fly down?
It flew down because that last increment of weight from 85% to 100%, as we put in weight, a lot of that weight was in the booms, some of it was in the canard, some was in the fuselage. If you put weight in the booms, it bends. Remember, the canard is not stiff, it's like the wing. Well, it's a lot stiffer than the wing, but it's keeping that boom from whipping around. If it wasn't for the canard, the reason the Voyager's a canard is structural stiffening. If we put all that weight span loaded out there, it would do this and break the wing apart. The canard stiffened the wing. That's why it's a canard, it's the only reason. Okay, so adding that going to world flight was just enough so that you could actually push the stick forward of neutral and get a little negative lift on the canard, which would bend the canard down. And if you bend the canard down, you turn the boom like this, and you reduce the angle of attack of the whole wing. Got it? A little bit of elevator control like this would change the lift of the entire wing, even while you're sitting there hard on the landing gear, on the runway. That's why I was screaming to Mike to tell Dick, pull back on a stick, because he was scraping the ground with it. Okay, Dick, I think his main concern was could he fly it at that weight and not get the pitch dynamics.
While we were on the ground.
I'll cover that later. I think his main concern was, what if it lifted off early? Okay, then the dynamics could destroy the wing because it's close to there. So Dick was intent on getting at least that target of 86 knots, making sure that he didn't try to lift off until he got 86 knots, and he had the stick forward.
96.
86. Look at the tape. You remember how excited I was that we got 100 knots? I said that because I thought it would take way out over the lake bed before we got to 100 knots. But it was 86 was our minimum speed that we're going to allow you to get off the ground.
Well, I let it run until the low 90s. You know, a couple more.
Oh, yeah, mom. Yeah, no, sure. Okay, now, if you let it run more and you've got that stick forward, you're going to grind more off the wingtips. Now, here's the thing. The fact that the wingtips hit the ground and scraped on the ground might have saved the program because they couldn't oscillate, right? If they're scraping on the ground, you can't get into a cyclic undamped motion if you can't go the other way. They can't flap, right? And so what happened when Dick says, all right, I'm above that speed, don't have much runway left, but you know, hey, we got runway left and I got faster than the speed at which we should take off. He, with a velvet arm, on an airplane that was dynamically unstable, it had never been flown within 15% of that weight. I don't know what he did with that, but if you look at the tapes, the Voyager went from scraping the wing on the ground to slowly moving up just like this and getting right up to just like this when the wheels came off the ground and it didn't flap at all. And he flew away with an airplane that was in perfect shape. There was no oscillation about its neutral lift at all. And I think what helped him do that was the oscillations were totally damped by the runway until he got to that speed. Now, here's the thing. If Dick could see the wing, and if he heard us screaming at him, actually Mike was on the phone, but right. I was screaming at Mike. If he knew that he was scraping the wingtips on the ground, what was he gonna do? Well, I would have thought that Velvet Arm could pull the stick, get a little more canard lift, get the wing in the air, right? Okay, but think about it. Going through tar strips, going through a takeoff that took more than 2 minutes.
2:10.
2 minutes and 10 seconds, okay? And used almost all of the, well, it's not the longest runway, that's over at Groom Lake, but who's counting?
Hard surface runway.
Yeah, okay, but anyway, longest runway. If he had thought that his problem was to get it off the runway, and then he had a problem of not letting the dynamics happen while it was moving about neutral. And first, I'm moving my hand pretty fast. When you're real heavy, the natural frequency is extremely slow. It's not like this.